The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. Now a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This is one of my favorite texts, because I'm from the Midwest. And if anybody knows anything about the Midwest, one of the things about summer are thunderstorms. They're amazing and wonderful and beautiful and terrifying. But even I've noticed here in North Carolina that there is, before every storm, that moment of anticipation. That eerie calm just before the storm begins. It's that time when the breeze stops, the humidity drops, the trees stand still, the clouds billow dark gray, piling up usually in the west. Sometimes the sky is almost green, and the air seems so thick you can cut it with a knife, and the noises around you seem to disappear. There's no more birds or crickets. Perhaps even that annoying neighbor has decided to be a little quieter. Do you know what I'm talking about? That calm before the storm? And in those few moments before a storm begins, when your fingertips tingle and your scalp seems to be crawling, and you know something is coming, but unless you look outside, you don't quite know what. It's an unsettling feeling in the pit of your stomach, that calm before the storm feeling. I wonder if the disciples, or Job, or the psalmist experienced this calm. I wonder if the disciples experienced this calm from before the storm as they set off across the Sea of Galilee in today's gospel reading. You see, the storm begins at dusk, when Jesus and the disciples decided to cross the lake to get away from the crowds. Jesus had been working very hard, healing the sick, driving out demons, teaching in parables. And Jesus not only wanted to get away from the crowds, I think he was secretly an introvert like some of us. Jesus also needed a rest. He was exhausted from a long day's work. And so he takes his first opportunity to lay down and sleep. Mark says he even brought his pillow along on this journey. Now, there may not have been a weather calm before the storm, but it seems that Jesus was calm enough to sleep before the storm began. It must have been a beautiful evening. Crowds on the shoreline, boats heading out into the evening light with just a few waves of water gently rocking them. The quiet shoreline on the other side waiting for their arrival, the stars lending their gentle light. It must have been quite peaceful. As some of you may know, I've been spending some of my summer research time in Israel for the past couple of years. And while I usually spend most of my time just north of the Galilee, this summer, I spent a little extra time at the Sea of Galilee. I went to see a first century boat that was dug up when the shoreline receded about a decade or two ago. I also had a chance to learn more about fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, fisher people. And they tell us that on that lake, storms frequently come up without warning. Geographically, mountains surround the lake, and if a good cool wind comes out of the mountains and hits the sweltering air at the lake's surface because the lake is below sea level, well, you know what happens when cool air meets warm air. Furious storms result in very short order. Perhaps the calm before the storm on the Sea of Galilee is even more ominous than my Midwestern self knows. In this morning's gospel reading, the disciples find themselves embroiled in one of these unexpected storms on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were in small boats, probably only big enough for 5 or 6 people in each one. The boat that I saw this summer was about as big as the chancel area here. It's not a very big boat to be in a very big storm. Water must have been coming into the boat, and the wind was blowing furiously. The disciples are trying just to hold their own. And I'm sure with so many fisher people among them, they did whatever they knew to do. They bailed water, they battened down the hatches, but in the end, fear overcame them. And all the while, Jesus slept. But what I wonder about this story is why it took the disciples so long to wake Jesus up. Were they reluctant to bother him because he was sleeping so soundly and they knew he needed the rest? Did they think they could handle the chaos around them on their own? Mark doesn't really tell us, but if these disciples were anything like you and me, I bet they thought they could ride out the storm. I bet they thought they didn't want anyone to know that they were in over their heads. I bet they thought that Jesus needed his sleep worse than they needed Jesus' help. So they wait until the most dire of dire circumstances to wake Jesus. "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Isn't that typical for us? When storms come up in our lives, when chaos reigns, when frantic schedules and overwhelming emotions run through our days, when stress with work and relationships, family and friends engulfs us, when unexpected illness or adversity intervenes in our lives, when pictures and videos and news stories make our insides roil, when we think we can manage it all on our own, or even when we know we can't, one more wave comes crashing into our boat, and suddenly we know we are in trouble. But sisters and brothers, aren't we also a lot like the disciples? Hesitant to wake Jesus, hesitant to disturb God with our lives, hesitant to ask for help and admit that we are in over our heads, hesitant to wake a sleeping God unless we're convinced we're perishing. And yet, once the disciples finally awakened Jesus, something even more frightening happened. Jesus, who was so calm before the storm that he slept. Jesus, who was so calm at the beginning of the storm that he was still sleeping. Jesus, who was so calm in the middle of the storm that he said 2 words, "Peace, be still." I know that's actually 3 in English, but really in Greek it's 2, "Peace, be still," and the wind and waves stopped. Once the disciples asked Jesus for help, relief came immediately, and in an unexpected way, from an unexpected power, through unexpected words, "Peace, be still." Jesus didn't wrestle the waves. He didn't lock up the winds. He didn't shore up the boat for his favorite people and let all the others sink. He didn't muscle his way or shout his way through that storm. He simply demanded peace from everything and everyone. That eerie, unsettling, calm before the storm feeling is exactly what the disciples must have felt after the storm, after Jesus stopped the wind and the waves. That calm before the storm, after the storm feeling must have been pretty frightening. In fact, Mark uses the word terrified. The disciples were terrified. And when Jesus asks them why they were so afraid, their response is one of even more fear. Now, the text that I read this morning, the New Revised Standard Translation that you have in your bulletins, translates verse 41 as, "And they were filled with great awe." But the Greek is even more forceful. The Greek says something like, and they feared with a great fear. Now, this isn't fear in the biblical sense. It's not that sense of reverence or awe, respect, adoration, admiration. That's how we often think of fear when we think of it in the Bible. No, this is the fear of phobias. This is the fear that paralyzes you from your everyday life. This is the disciples who are fearing with the terror that comes when you encounter something completely, wholly unfamiliar, unexpected, unprecedented, and unimaginable. Can you imagine how terrified they must have been? Because you see, chaos in our lives is often quite familiar. Dare I say that even hatred in our lives is often quite familiar. Storms in our lives rage all the time, and we feel powerless to stop their force from rushing through and engulfing our world. So we make our own kind of peace with the chaos and the storms, fighting against them as best we can. But the power that Jesus displays in this morning's gospel is terrifying power, because it is the power that does not use violence or selective rescue or strength or weapons. It is a power that can control even the most uncontrollable forces in our world and bring an unfamiliar feeling into the midst of it. Peace and stillness. The power that Jesus displays in this morning's gospel is also a terrifying power, because it does not come as we would expect or even ask it to. You see, what marks Jesus seems to know and the disciples do not is that God's power can weather both storm and calm. And what's more, and what's crucial for this morning's gospel reading, is that what comes after the boats reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus' ministry of teaching, preaching, healing, justice working continues at the borders of a foreign place after the storm has been calmed. You see, Jesus' ministry expands because of the disciples' journey across the lake to the border with the Gerasenes. We'll hear that story next week. Stay tuned. Sisters and brothers, it's the journey across the lake into the borderlands and not the storm itself that is the point of this morning's story. It is the fact that the disciples, come high water or peaceful seas, were following God's call for their lives in journeying to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Their faith dissolved in both their doubts about completing the journey and in their fear of the one whose power slept in the stern. Their journey continued, whether stormy or calm, and that journey is the disciples' act of faith. You see, our faith, the disciples' faith, is not measured by the chaos or lack of chaos in our lives. It's not measured by the power we or our leaders wield. It's not measured by our ability to control the world around us. The disciples found themselves in the chaos of a raging storm and lacked faith. The disciples found themselves in the utter calm of a peaceful lake and lacked faith. The other boats on the sea that night found safe passage once the seas leveled, and Jesus did not stop them. Sisters and brothers, whether sleeping nearby or rescuing us from storms, Jesus promises to travel with us through whatever chaos or calm comes our way. It's Jesus' presence that makes a difference in our lives. It's God's faithful presence in our life journeys that never fails. What will it take for us to trust both chaos and peace with our faith? May our faith weather many storms, and may it always compel us to journey on with Jesus. Amen.